From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is a podcast from the archives of The Fischko Files, on radio since 1999. I'm Sarah Fischko. Each week, I put together a personal essay on music, art, culture, or media. You can hear all of The Fischko Files, plus some of my one-hour documentaries and special programs, on demand at WNYC.org. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. How does a musician go from here?
First piece I learned, I think it was...
All the way to here. If you're Henry Butler, you just keep plugging away. It's sounding like yourself. Henry Butler always sounds like Henry Butler, even when he's exploring different musical styles, which he does all the time. He's had a long musical journey with more than the usual twists and turns. He was born in New Orleans. He was blinded in infancy by a childhood illness and brought up in boarding school in Louisiana from age 5 to age 17. There he discovered music and started studying the classics.
I just kept figuring out things, and I realized that I had a pretty good ear. I also realized that I had perfect pitch.
Armed with new skills and a love of music, Henry began to play around with some of the pop tunes of the day, and with his mother's permission, began to play in Louisiana clubs at age 14.
And she prevailed on these older guys to keep watch and make sure I didn't do anything crazy.
Was anybody mentoring you or helping you with this, or were you pretty much picking this stuff up?
I was just picking it out because my piano teachers didn't want to help me with that. They were trying to get me to do more classical stuff. But more and more I was devoting time quietly to other things. Classical piece that I actually worked on was the Sonata Pathetique.
It's a good piece.
By Beethoven. Oh, yeah, it kept me working. And it really was the reason why I stopped working on classical music. I mean, it was tough for me, but that wasn't the reason why I stopped. I stopped working on classical music because of the way classical music is laid out for blind people. It's in book form, so that you have to always have, if you're going to sight read, you're going to have your one hand on the music and reading the music while you're playing with the other hand. So essentially for blind people, you have to memorize from the very beginning. That's the way it goes. You have to.
When Henry Butler made that formal decision to switch over from classical music to other styles, especially improvised music, he went everywhere a piano player could go. He studied improvisation with Alvin Batiste, who runs a jazz institute in Baton Rouge.
And we used to use this lick all the time. If we couldn't think of anything else, we'd just revert back to that. And we'd also use the pentatonic scale.
Butler started to write his own pieces and try them out with audiences. In some cases, going everywhere just meant going home, to New Orleans, to sit at the feet of the great players there. Butler had a memorable meeting with the great Professor Longhair, the nickname attached to Henry Roland Roy Byrd, whose music blazed the trail for rhythm and blues.
Solo, Dirk.
And one thing he told me, he says, you know, if you didn't play the piano so hard, you could move a lot faster.
Also in his hometown, Henry got to know James T. Booker, the player known as the Bayou Maharaja.
Used to say things like, "Oh man, yeah, I like what you're doing now. You're starting to get that energy." You know. And, you know, I understand what he meant. Because it does take a certain kind of energy to play music well.
The result of all this has been Henry Butler's remarkable ability to play any style there is. Blues, boogie-woogie, stride, jazz, ragtime, all with his own slant. And to play with a quality he believes is thriving in New Orleans.
When you hear the best people play in this town, they still play with passion and they still play impulsively.
For Butler, impulse is central, which can sometimes mean he follows his impulse to get to a musical place, hardly bothering with how many notes he might lose on the way.
Well, my feeling is, why should I do a conventional run? Everybody, anybody can do that.
It's kind of a deliberate mess.
Mm-hmm.
It's very effective.
Ever since I was a kid, I never wanted to sound like anybody else. I mean, I never did. I knew at a certain point that I needed to develop my own language. And I knew it was going to take some hard work. I mean, you don't just automatically have your own unique style. You know, it has to be worked on.
Henry Butler, still working.
I'm not there yet, and I'm not sure that anybody totally gets there.
He's closer than most. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko. Thanks for listening to today's podcast from the archives of the Fishko Files from WNYC New York Public Radio. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member today at WNYC.org. See you next week for another installment of The Fishko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.